Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us here at Keeping It Young, where Dave and Bethley share practical lessons from God's Word about marriage, family, and ministry life. They desire to encourage, edify, and equip you as you navigate these important matters in your own life. Well, how in the world are you? Doing okay today? I know some of you are celebrating either your birthday or someone else's, and someone else might be having an anniversary, and it could be that you're celebrating because a new baby has been born in the world, and I congratulate you on that. It might be that you're on your way to your new job, and I wish you the best. Whatever kind of a day you may be having, the Proverbs covers all the bases of a person's life. And today, Dave and Bethley pick up where they left off from Proverbs 13 as they continue their study about influences that kill potential. So let's join them right now.
Welcome back to our series in the book of Proverbs.
Absolutely. We're glad you joined us today. Thanks for joining us last week as we talked about influences. And now we're going to pick up there again today. We have really enjoyed this study, though. What a great reminder. We're still raising our teenage daughter, our baby girl.
Yes.
And what a reminder. And just even being reminded of things we did and people who helped us to see these truths, how thankful I am for in ministry, as we served in ministry, how God put people in our lives through ministry to help us, to direct us, to give us wisdom. What a great blessing it is.
Absolutely. And what a burden the Lord has placed on our heart to try to share these truths from the Bible with parents these days. Because I know in any parenting situation, whether it's secular or Christian, parents are really up against it. And there is so much, can we say, misinformation out there, so much truth that's wrapped in a lie, or a lie that's wrapped in truth, that even Christian parents are swallowing. And so we just have such a burden to share the Word of God with you, to just share practical, applicable truth.
Sure. And today's, as we're going to continue this idea of influence, today is a very important one. Because today we're going to talk about friends. And we just, we want to remind you of the verse that we're kind of using as the foundation of this, Proverbs 13, 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be
wise,
but a companion of fools shall be
destroyed.
Such a powerful truth. So powerful. And remember, it parallels Proverbs chapter 1. If you are just joining us today, you should take the time to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19.
Yes.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And my son, walk not in the way with them. These are such powerful truths. And Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand
in the seat of the scornful.
Yeah, and stand in the way of sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yes.
What wonderful truths found throughout God's word that influence matters in our lives. And so if you're going to have a happy family and a happy life, happy family, what you have to do is you have to emphasize the blessings and the dangers of influence. When influence is blessed, it's phenomenal. And when influence is dangerous, it's deadly. And so we talked last week a little bit about the best influences are those that impart righteousness and wisdom. And we made the statement, this is kind of where we ended last week, that adult influences are better than peer influences, which then is a good bridge into the next statement. And that is that we must protect our children from lousy friends. Now, the Bible doesn't say a great deal about helping our children find good friends. It's almost as if that will happen if our children are righteously pursuing God. But there are a lot of warnings about wrong friends, right?
Wicked friends, foolish friends, simple friends, immoral friends, perverted friends.
Yes. There,
I mean, just the warnings, especially in the book of Proverbs.
And wouldn't you say that in our children's lives, you know, our four adult children and even our teenager, but especially in our four adult children, looking at their lives, the good friends in their life just happened. And good friends came along, and all of a sudden, here's a really good friendship.
As friendships develop, or as your child is being trained by you as the parents and learning in their own walk with God, those friendships do just happen.
Yes.
And so you, I know Charity was even talking about a good friend of hers just yesterday as we were traveling and how much she absolutely loves her. And I know one of the things that makes these two girls click is because both of them are growing in the Lord. Both of them have goals in mind of where the Lord's going to lead them in the future. And it just is something that makes it sweet. And they do giggle together. They laugh about stuff. They are silly together and all of that. But it's just a blessing that she can have this godly good friendship. And this is something we want to promote in our children's lives. But as David was just saying, it's not something you have to make happen. As we were around this young lady's family and we became friends, then Charity and Emily became friends. It just has happened. They've grown up together. But you do have to protect your children from lousy friends. I was thinking as you were beginning this episode and we're talking about happy life and happy family. I can't even remember the topic or the title of this whole series, and we've been doing it forever.
Happy life and happy family.
Thank you, from the book of Proverbs. Sometimes we might think, well, our influences, do they really promote happiness or take away from happiness in our children's life? But just from experience in our children's lives, one of the things I do know is when they are being influenced for good and godliness and righteousness, they are happy kids. Mm-hmm. They're just doing right and their conscience is clear and everything's good. We also know from experience when our children are walking with fools, they are unhappy. It is hilarious how our kids can even defend maybe a friendship that they are making and say, oh, they're not as bad as you think they are. When we are warning our children, that's not a good friendship. You don't need to be hanging around them. And they're just, oh no, they're good people and their parents do this or that or whatever. And they start into their defense. But if that friendship continues and they are influenced with that child or that other friend, they are so unhappy. Our children are just miserable and they don't even see it until they take that step of obedience and say, you know what, mom and dad, you're right. They're not a good influence in my life. And they start walking away from that friend, parting ways. And then all of a sudden their heart is happy again and they're pursuing God again. And they're like, you know what? That was a miserable time in my life.
That's so true. And my goodness, all the lessons we can pull out of that, just that little scenario there. One is obviously that good friends do just happen. We said that, but we also invest in good friends. And we spend time with friends that we believe are good with our children. I've, along the way, even taken one of my sons and picked up a friend of theirs and taken them with me on a ministry trip. The idea there is to give them time to be together with people that we know are good influences.
Yes.
And we work at those things. It does happen by, you know, as our kids are pursuing righteousness, it can just happen, but it's not that we're hands off. We are continually influencing and opening the door for our kids to have good friends. There's even churches that I will schedule on purpose because I know our children have friends there.
Yes.
And we will go out of our way, even maybe on a vacation or even as we're passing through, we're going to that church so that our children can be with those teenagers.
Yes.
Or whatever. And yet at the same time, we have to absolutely protect our children from the lousy friends. This is a really difficult one. Let's talk for a moment about the lousy friends. The Bible really in Proverbs refers to them as both the simple and the fool. And if I understand the word simple, it just basically means they lack wisdom. They do not have wisdom. And then the fool is one who ridicules righteousness, makes fun of sin. Everything holy is kind of a ha-ha to them.
And there is a big difference between what the Bible would call a simple man, someone who lacks wisdom. Of course, young people are going to lack discernment and wisdom, and you as a parent are supposed to be training that. But if your child is around someone who consistently shows a lack of discernment and their parents are not trying to direct them in the way, that would be the simple friend. And then, of course, it is really obvious to pick out the foolish friend, the one who is not paying attention in church, the one who, when the preacher brings up a certain topic, they might roll their eyes and sigh, the one who will not sing during the song service, the one who will skip out of youth group and insist on playing basketball in the courtyard or whatever. Those are the foolish friends.
And lousy friends, moms and dads, hear this very, very carefully. Lousy friends can quickly undo everything you are teaching your children. And we've seen that in our home. to where a lousy friend can come along, and the next thing we know, our child, who we've had 13, 14, 17, 18 years of helping this kid, and the kid, our son, our daughter's on the right path, and all of a sudden, a lousy friend very quickly begins undoing everything.
Yes.
And this is important for you to understand, because there's several truths here that can help you with that. One is simply that it is better, and we wanted our kids to know this, it is better to have no friends than to have lousy friends.
Absolutely.
Do not miss that, moms and dads. Your teenager does not have to have friends. Mm. They can survive without them.
Yes.
And sometimes we feel sorry for our children. Well, they don't have any friends. And along comes Mr. Cool or Mrs. Cool, Miss Cool. And the next thing you know, we're letting our kids hang around them because we feel sorry. Well, they don't have any friends, so we want them to have some friends.
Right.
And what ends up happening is that our children, because we feel badly for their lack of friendship, we end up letting them be influenced very negatively by lousy friends.
Right. Or we let them go do something. Maybe you wouldn't let them hang with this person all the time, but these people have this great opportunity to do whatever, some big activity or whatever. And you're like, well, my kid would never have that opportunity unless they go with these people. And so we think it's okay. They're only going to be with them for 24 hours or 10 hours or whatever. But it is amazing the influence that can take place during that time and tear down a lot of the biblical teaching that you are already have in place or are trying to teach your children.
A story that you ought to know as a parent is the story of Amnon in the Old Testament. And the Bible tells a story of King David's son Amnon. And the Bible says Amnon had a friend, and his friend Jonadab was one who was a fool. And the story is so powerful. Your teenager should especially know it, and maybe even your children. Mm. It does involve Amnon's friend setting it up to where Amnon had access to rape his half-sister.
Yes.
And so there is an element of it. You have to be careful when you're teaching that to your younger ones. But the fact is, Amnon's friendship eventually cost him his life.
Yes.
He is a vivid illustration that a wrong friend in your life can damage your purity, can damage your testimony, and can literally damage your future. And when it was all said and done, Amnon didn't even like what his friend did to him because he hated her. He didn't like her. He had this idea that, if I just could be with her in an immoral sense, man, I'll be happy and great. And what he found out was, no, I'm not happy. In fact, he turns into a bear of a guy because now he's angry, and he even makes the situation worse by handling it inappropriately and wrongly. Yes. And in the process of it, his friend just kind of chuckled about it, apparently. Mm-hmm. He walked away and left him alone. You know, I helped set all this up in your life.
Right.
And so what an illustration in the Bible there. Amnon had a friend. Look that one up. And here's it. Remember, it's better to have no friends than to have lousy ones. But I would also say that it's important to remember that a good friend is one who does right and helps you do right. And if you're going to have, if your kids have friends in their life that boy, there's a teen that does what's right, mm-hmm. and that teenager is helping my son or my daughter to do what's right, that is to be celebrated.
It is. And ultimately, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could teach our children to be that good friend?
Yes.
That is what we're after. We want our children to be the leader and to stand up and say, you know what? That's not the right thing. We're not going to do that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to be late to youth group just because we want to go hang out over here and talk about something inappropriate. You want your child to be the one that's calling out the sin or foolishness in the other children. But even if you have a child who is not naturally gifted with that leadership, you want your child to be able to at least recognize it.
Yes.
And say, okay, these aren't good people. I may not be able to lead them, but I'm going to walk away from them.
So the question then is, well, how do we protect our children from lousy friends?
Mm.
And here's maybe just a whole list of random things, not necessarily any divine order or not. But Beth and I would say, first of all, choose their friends. Just choose them. Provide time for your children to connect with good friends.
Yes.
That may be a matter of choosing a youth group. So you might have to make a choice about church to say, you know what, love this church, but can't go to this church because the youth group is influencing my child negatively. It might mean a choice about, school or sports. There's a ton of options there to say, where will my children find good friends? We mentioned just a moment ago, Charity's friend Emily, and that is not necessarily a friend that we looked at and said, okay, there's a friend we want Charity to have. But we also... Well, in a sense, but it wasn't like you and I sat down and talked about it and determined to make it happen.
That's true.
But what we did know is that her mom and dad, we love and we respect, greatly respect. We're just amazed at how their children are doing and how they are training their children.
Yes.
And what an example for us to be able to point to and say, look, it works. Training your children in this way. Wow, look at these children. And they're happy, they're well-behaved, they get along, they're normal without being, you know, foolish and idiotic. And what a lesson there. So we spent time with, we connected with.
We get with the Gellises as much as we can.
By what I mean there then, by choosing their friends, doesn't necessarily mean that you sit down and think, okay, now which person am I going to determine to make my daughter be friends with?
Right.
What we do mean, though, is that you're very involved in the process. And if there's a youth group that has phenomenal teenagers, and you're like, hey, these teens, wow, they're on fire for God. They're doing what's right. They're honoring the Lord. Then that's a place to examine.
Right.
So you, by choosing that, we're being very practical here. Not cold facts, not some cold, sterile, you know, okay, this is who you're going to be friends with. There's your option. But a matter of working hard to, you know, open the options for our children to have good friends, moms and dads.
So you're going to place yourself in a position of, hey, I really respect this family. We like this family. They have great teenagers. Let's get together with them and see if a friendship develops, or let's go to this church because they have some great teenagers and I want my child to have these influences, these friendships. So it's not something that you're going to make happen, because you can't make your child be friends with someone. There are personality differences and all of that to consider. But that is totally an option of making it available, making that friendship available.
Well, you've been listening to the Youngs discuss influences that kill potential from Proverbs chapter 13. I trust it was a blessing to you, and I hope to meet you again tomorrow by way of radio. This is your good friend Michael Barnett, and if you'd like more information or would like to hear more of these edifying episodes of Keeping It Young, just visit keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a production of Keeping It Young. So thanks for listening, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIO Radio Network.